Word of mouth.
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 Well, that's
mouth. Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The Olympics inspire us, thrill us, indulge our lust for competition in a direct and dramatic way, and engage us in the pursuit of what may seem possible. And we never have to leave our comfy chairs. That's kind of where Brady Carlson, our longtime awesomator, comes into this strained introduction. He observes the squabbles and strategies and fixations and silliness that happens online, sifts out the superfluous, and brings it to us. Today, we get a glimpse of the 2016 Games in Rio and what will be his last run through the awesome filter for this program in this studio. Yep, later this month, NHPR's reporter and weekend host and talented fill-in host and all-around day brightener is heading to Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are in mourning. So, Brady, I'm really happy for you, and I will never forgive you.
I think of me like E.T. Here, I'm going to point at your heart and say, I'll always be right here, Virginia.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so on to the Olympics. First, the IOC says no to the GIF. So first, to those who don't live and die by what gets circulated online. So what does that mean?
It means that one of those little four-second loops of a particular video moment that's absurd or funny or noteworthy or terrifying, but a little bit more revealing than, say, a still photograph and often filled with cats.
And the IOC said no.
The IOC said they had put some guidelines together in 2015 that said we are keeping control of our content. In a lot of ways, it's not that different from, say, that disclaimer that they always read during baseball games, where this broadcast is the express property of Major League Baseball and no one else can rebroadcast it or retransmit it. They're just saying this is our content and we don't allow people to reuse our content without authorization. But because people are so used to using other people's content without authorization on the internet, putting those GIFs together, putting little video clips up, whether or not they have the right to do so, it's noteworthy because the IOC is trying really hard to keep tabs on its content and its information.
But the internet runs on these images. How are they going to enforce that?
Well, they're going to not succeed very well, which is what we're seeing. I mean, the opening ceremonies is a perfect example of that. You know, the IOC has this rule on paper, and yet I saw plenty of people posting little video loops of the Tongan flag bearer in his, six pack and his baby oil or whatever that stuff was that it was all over his chest. I mean, that guy made a lot of heads turn on Twitter for sure.
Well, and not only the people who are watching it at home, grabbing these images and posting them. But another set of offenders, the emergency crew that was taking care of the French gymnast who just broke his leg so horribly.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, any time that you can hear a bone snap on broadcast television is not a good situation. But then to have people following the ambulance crew as they load him into the vehicle and then see the EMTs drop the stretcher. Mm. That's never a good moment. And so, I mean, if you're someone running the 2016 Summer Games, I mean, that's certainly you don't want to have a loop like that up on the internet.
One of the things I love when there's a kind of a world event or something that everyone's watching, even, you know, some from the RNC or the DNC, you know, the crying Bernie fans, that kind of thing. Everybody seizes on an image. And it's so funny that, you know, everyone just seized on the Tongan guy.
What we're good at on the internet is finding the thing that's really unusual, really colorful, really shareable.
So the thing about when there are world events or big events, you know, that we are all watching at the same time and we see all these GIFs come up, they're event GIFs, I'm going to call them. But they are wonderfully creative and funny, and they make these events part of the conversation that extends beyond the time that they're on. I would think that would be really good for the games. Is the IOC being short-sighted about this ban?
That's always been the argument from people who defend this use, which is technically unauthorized. There's a parallel in the world of music where, as MP3 files first became popular and streaming services started to launch like Spotify or Grooveshark, you would hear people say, look, the use of this content may not quite fall in line with the staid old archaic copyright law, but a lot more people are hearing these bands. A lot more people are having access to this music that might not have ever seen it before. And you could make the same argument here that this adds something to the conversation about the Olympics that they wouldn't get. And let's face it, I mean, NBC has not seen great ratings compared to 4 years ago with the Rio Games. So you do want to get as much attention as possible. On the other hand, the IOC makes big deals to have companies like NBC broadcast these events and networks across the world. They sometimes set up these deals with social media platforms as well. And if people are going around those deals, why would a network or a platform give the IOC any money to secure rights to something that are being subverted? You know what's caught my attention?
What?
In the Olympics? In the swimming events, you know how they put the graphics that have each swimmer's country right along their lane? So it'll say like France and Italy and Japan and whatever. For the U.S. swimmers, it doesn't say USA or United States. It says United States of A.
So I'm wondering if it's a kind of like distinguishing, I don't know, United States. I don't know.
I found it to be a real mystery. I mean, if you're going to just say United States.
Say United States.
Right. Or if you're going to put, I mean, if you don't want to put America in there, why just put the first letter?
Well, let's get into the real action, the competition. What have you seen that's drawing the eyes and ears of the collective memeists?
Interestingly, a lot of the memes that have cropped up have connections to some of the issues that are getting debated outside of the Summer Games. I mean, for example, we saw a couple of stories that revolved around gender. There was the story of a swimmer from Hungary who set a new world record. And it wasn't just one of those, you know, barely topped the last world record. I mean, it was a 2 second margin, I think, in the 400 meter individual medley. And so she won the gold. And one of the commentators made a note of that sounded like he was saying, you know, the person who really deserved the credit was not her, but her husband, who is also her coach. And it came off sounding like, hey, that guy standing on the sidelines cheering on the swimmer
exuberantly
had more to do with the gold medal than the actual swimmer. And people were saying, well, wait a minute, who deserves the credit here? There was another story where a woman won a bronze medal. And her husband happens to be a player for the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Tribune put out a headline that said, wife of a Bears linesman wins a bronze medal in Rio Olympics. And people said, now, wait a minute. You know, here's the Olympic medal winner. You don't even name her. You don't even put her name into the story. You just write about her husband, who happens to be a football player. And so that got a lot of backlash. I mean, we're in a presidential election. Gender is coming up an awful lot as we talk about politics these days. And so some of these issues that we're already talking about in sometimes very contentious ways seem to be showing up in the Olympics. So maybe the Summer Games online are some kind of a lens for what we're already thinking about as a society.
But we also had some great stories there. The emergence of superfan Mavis. She's the nan or grandmother of the British swimmer Adam Peaty. What did Mavis do?
Well, she did what grandmas are so good at, which is cheering their grandchildren on. And in the context of a world-class swimmer who's looking to medal at the Rio Games, her tweets just cheering on little Adam are just incredibly adorable. I love the fact that she uses so many emoji in each of these tweets.
British flat.
Yeah, one says, one more day and I can watch my grandson swim. Ooh, so proud, I'm bursting. And then there's like three shamrocks, four British flags. So, I mean, it's pretty much what you'd expect somebody's grandma to tweet when her grandson is at the Olympics. And it's wonderful.
Hashtag Olympic Nan. Another great story that's kind of emerged out of this, let's say the feel-good story, a Syrian swimmer Yusra Mardini, one of 10 refugee athletes of the Games. Now, here's just a clip of her in a video from the Independent News in the UK.
Just to think that you are a swimmer and in the end you're going to end up dying in the water, who you know the best.
She saved, like, 15 or 20 people's lives. Their boat was, I think, taking on water, or it was in danger. They were a few miles away from land, and she and her sister, strong swimmers, swam the boat to safety.
Oh my goodness.
Those people, and I mean, some of these are young children that were on the boat, as I understand it. She saved their lives, and when asked about it later on, she said, well, I was really tired at the end. So, but I mean, how many people at age 20 can not only do something of that physical magnitude, but can hold it together and not, she said, I couldn't act scared and apparently didn't, and then can go on and be in the Olympics. I mean, how can you not cheer for somebody like that? It is really fun watching everybody talk about Team Refugee And I mean, we've seen some iterations of this kind of thing in the past. I mean, 4 years ago, right here in New Hampshire, people were cheering on Gwar Mariel, who is a graduate of Concord High School and had been hoping to represent the not quite country then of South Sudan. He's representing South Sudan in this year's games, but he wound up running under the Olympic flag in the marathon event, and it was a big deal here. And so this is another example. Team Refugee is now for the whole world seeing what those of us in New Hampshire saw 4 years ago.
It's the Awesomator Olympics edition, or at least it was. We've got to talk about other things here too, Brady. What's going on where the world is turning outside of the Olympics?
Well, I've been following this new development in Instagram. Of course, this is the photo sharing social media platform that's owned by Facebook, and they've just launched a new piece of that platform called Instagram Stories. It says, and I'll just quote from the description, a new feature that lets you share all of the moments of your day. As you share multiple photos and videos, they appear together in a slideshow format. You don't have to worry about overposting. You can bring your story to life in new ways with text and drawing tools. The photos and videos will disappear after 24 hours.
Wait, disappearing after? Isn't that what Snapchat does?
That's exactly what Snapchat does. And so the reaction online to this new thing called Instagram Stories was, I remember this when it was called Snapchat.
How did they get away with that?
Well, apparently, what I've been reading says that because a lot of these are ideas or features, they're not necessarily considered copyrightable under federal law. And truth be told, that this is something that people do in web design circles often. They see a feature that's resonating with an audience and they incorporate it, they clone it, they refine it. And some of the reviewers have actually said Instagram Stories may be a better version of Snapchat than Snapchat, which if so, then it would be typical Facebook. We've seen that a lot of times, Facebook taking some of the features from, say, Google Plus or even Twitter and adding those to its core service and sometimes even making them better than the original. So that's not necessarily a surprise to see that happening here with Instagram. Is this something that Instagram users want? We'll see.
Well, I thought that Snapchat was the thing that teenagers used because your posts disappear and your parents will never be able to find them. So will Instagram Stories be accessible to people over the age of, say, 18?
That's one of the theories, that it may be a chance for people who aren't 20 to get to do Snapchat stuff without being on Snapchat and feeling really old.
Well, Brady, you are the man responsible for Keyboard Cat's popularity, or at least the first to introduce the Keyboard Cat to us. So how do you want to go out today?
Well, we are celebrating International Cat Day this week. So in addition to all of the great kitty pictures that people have been posting, I really liked these thoughts from historian and author Tom Holland, who tweeted, and I quote, "If you die in a locked room with your dog, it won't eat you. Die in a locked room with your cat, and it will." Happy International Cat Day.
Brady, go be awesome somewhere else, why don't you?
Meow.
Brady Carlson, word of mouth, awesomator, and a man of many hats to New Hampshire Public Radio. We will all miss him greatly. We'll have links to all the stories that Brady mentioned at wordofmouthradio.org.